Mr. Pop.
I never saw an episode of Country Practice I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah, because I never saw an episode.
This is Ruck and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ruck and Roll. It is the podcast that comes to you once a week, very weekly. We're a weekly podcast. My name's Kevin Hillier. With me, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine. He's the rock star. He's the vapor. Hello, rock star.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Finey. And hello to you listening all the boys storming the beaches of Normandy as we speak.
So very Churchill. Very kind of, hello, Wing Commander. I think is the fortress down there on the west side of Wessex.
I say, let's just put Wing Co-Fine on. He'll give you the details of the operation.
Hello, Finey.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Brian. Now, when you say that this podcast is brought to you weekly, that's not W-E-A-K-L-Y.
Yeah, it is sometimes.
Pip weekly.
Yes, most certainly is sometimes, no doubt about that. Oh, what a bloody funny week it's been. Very, very strange week again, as per usual. How was your week, Brian? I know you did the big countdown show on Friday night at Frankston.
Yeah, that was good. It went far better than it deserved to because it was a little bit under-rehearsed, but, you know, everybody rises to the occasion as soon as there's a crowd in front.
And, how would you have handled it back in the day if the review of the Uncanny X-Men had been, well, the show went far better than it deserved to?
I know the inside of it, and I thought, you know, and I know Ali Fowler was a little bit concerned about the lack of rehearsal because we were doing some new things that we hadn't done. If you want to talk about reviews back in the 80s, they treated music like you were doing brain surgery. You know, these days they just write, Robbie Williams got up last night, wowed the crowd and played all the hits. You know, in the old days, they go, the bass was not quite loud enough in track three. And, you know, it's just, you know, so it's a different beast now. Yep. But, it went very well. And we got some really great reviews and great reports. So, and we're doing it again this week in Twin Towns.
Beautiful. Lenny's Fine Foods. How was the week there, Funny?
Yeah, very busy. Just sort of got back our quarterly report from the number crunching. The Renault has been well worth it because we're up over 25%, so that's very good.
Excellent.
So going very well.
Well done. How are you? Are you all right? You're handling it all right? Is the hours cut back any for you at all?
Oh, no, it's hard work, and you throw in a little bit of radio, but by the end of the week, you're jacked crackered, but that's how it is.
How was Finey's final siren on the back of the weekend game?
Yeah, it was good. You know, Carlton Collingwood. I mean, I can't believe it because we've actually had sort of fit games on Friday night, and this Friday night, it's a double header. But the game I'm coming on afterwards is Fremantle Sydney. I mean, it's going to be hard to generate a lot of interest on the back of Freo Sydney. I can tell you that.
But well, the Friday night lineup is Geelong, Port Adelaide, Freo, and the Swans. So three non-Victorian sides for a Victorian radio show that you're doing, basically.
And Geelong Port, that'll be well and truly finished. So I've got to deal with Freo Sydney. So it's going to be a nightmare. But, you know, the show must go on.
Yes.
Carlton Collingwood was good, though. Carlton supporters, look, they're a bit pissed off. They've lost three out of the last four, and they consider that they've got a better team than that, and they possibly do. But results are what matters in football.
Which brings me to one point I want to bring up about where I think.
I'll bring it up for you. Bulldogs need to be absolutely, fair dinkum. Anyhow, back to you.
Well, what I was going to say is there's an enormous discrepancy between what the press, and I won't lumber you into that, but what the press.
I'm part of the.
No, but what the press and the popular, people think about certain teams and the ability on their lists. and what that ability then delivers on the field. There's a bloody enormous disparity going on with a number of teams. My team's one of them. I reckon Carlton's another one at the moment whose list looks a hell of a lot better than what they're delivering on the ground. St Kilda's another one whose list looks better than what they're delivering on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Look, St Kilda's – I'll give St Kilda a pass, not because I'm barrack for them, but because it's not a deep list and they've been cut back by injury. And I could have told you at the start of the year, if we had five or six players out, we're going to be no good. Whereas Carlton have got injuries, but they wouldn't believe that they had the depth to cover it, or at least enough quality on the field, as long as the two big forwards were playing and Cripps and Walsh were playing, Wietering, they are their five best players. They would have thought that they could have overcome that. As for the Bulldogs, I mean, something's just not right there. You know, look, we saw them against St Kilda. They were fantastic, but something's not quite right. It's not gelling properly for them. They have not been able to work out a viable combination that includes Ugel-Hagan, Norton and Darcy in the forward line. And that should be a potent forward line. I think both Carlton and the Doggies rely heavily on their marking forwards. And the truth is, if you have a look at the ladder, small forwards are more dangerous. They're more effective than marking forwards in that when the ball hits the ground, they can keep the ball in much better. So Mackay and Curnow kick six, Mason Cox and Majacek kick one between them. But when the ball hit the ground, it was very hard for Carlton to move it up forward. And the Bulldogs likewise do not have great small forwards. So when the ball hits the ground, they got torched a bit. That's Jarman and Impey.
Waitman and West are two big missing links out of that little forward line, the small forwards, and the blokes that came in their place obviously didn't do it as well. Brian, do you think there's a big disparity between what Essendon are dishing up and what you thought they'd dish up in terms of the strength of their list, or are you happy where the Bombers sit at the minute?
I'm surprised at the Bombers. After the Port Adelaide game, I just, well, that's it, season's over. And, you know, each week they've started to show a little bit of dash. And, you know, Zach Merritt, they look like they want to win, whereas, a couple of years ago they just looked like they were happy to play. I think that, still plenty of room for improvement. And, they were pretty lucky. You know, West Coast were pretty good this week. And I'm still really pleased that we got 2 points out of Collingwood. That gave me a lot of belief in them. And I think beating Adelaide over there gave me a bit of faith in them. The Suns let me down terribly this week. But apparently, who's the Brisbane player that came in and kicked 1-3? He's a first gamer. And apparently he played the reserves. Kirkley was telling me today.
Oh, not Logan Morris.
Is he the guy that kicked 1-3? Is his first game?
Oh, he kicked a goal. I didn't know. I haven't seen his stats. He's a young boy. He played a game with us at Werribee. He's a Spotswood product. I know his parents and his grandparents reasonably well. They're legendary people around the Spotswood Footy Club.
Well, apparently he played the resis in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he was off to McDonald's and he's eating McDonald's and he gets the call up and he doesn't have his boots and he had to borrow some boots that were too small for him.
Correct.
But you want to stick Hipwood up the back because he cannot kick for shit.
A little about Logan Morris. It's no great surprise that he had that kind of sort of lead into his first game because his grandfather, Spud Murphy, who's a legend of the Spotswood Footy Club. Spud would probably have half a dozen pots at the Tarmac Hotel in Laverton on the way to the game and then go out and be best on ground. So the kid's got some good genes in the gene pool there.
No, I just thought that was a great story. He's already played a game, played four quarters, then he's having McDonald's, then he's off again in smaller boots and played pretty well.
Good on him. He's a nice young man. He was around played his first VFL game for Werribee last year. He's a good young fella. Now, let's have a look at those footy tips. So it's only round eight. 8 of 24, we're a third of the way through. Stop smirking, Mannix.
Well, I had to do my one-point tips this week. And I did the ones that, you know, you think you're going to win.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten that I got sucked in by the points a lot last week.
I was listening to our show last week,
and I think I've done quite well.
Oh, do you? Do you?
Yeah, I do.
The smirkologist.
I think I've done better than you and Finey.
You have. You've increased your lead.
Good.
Not by a lot, but you have increased your lead. So as we go through the games from the weekend, the first game, the Adelaide-Port Adelaide game, Finey and I picked Adelaide. Collingwood, Brian, you and I picked Collingwood. Swans game, Brian, you're the only one to pick the Swans.
And that was only because of the points.
Yep. St Kilda and North. Well, you went for North, so you only gave us three up on that one. Melbourne and Geelong, you went for Melbourne, as I did. Eagles and Essendon, obviously you got the two for the Essendon win. Finey and I took the punt on the eight and only bloody missed out by a bees. Richmond and Frio got up there, so you missed out there. Doggies and Hawks, you got the eight for the Hawthorn win.
Oh, beauty.
You reckon that wasn't going through the back of my mind when I'm watching the last bit of that game thinking, I know Mannix has picked Hawthorn. I'm filthy.
I'd forgotten that I had. On my one-point tips at Skyways, I picked the other team.
The Doggies, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you know.
And then Fonny and I both picked up the three for the Lions beating the Sun. So the way that washes up after the weekend is, Fonny, you got 14 points.
Great.
Well, that's better than the 11 you got last week. The Lenny's Fine Foods food tipping competition.
he's gonna regret bringing this, you know, this wagered system in because it's certainly not suiting him.
No, it will. I've got great faith in Finney's ability to bounce back. So you got 14, I got 25, and Brian got 27. So that takes Brian onto a total of 172. I'm on 164, and finally you're on 125.
I'm in trouble. All right, keep going.
You're in a bit of trouble. You are in a bit of trouble. Now, I want to ask, we're a third of the way through the season. The eight, as it sits at the moment, is the Swans on 28 and Geelong on 28, GWS and Melbourne on 24, so they're the top four. Essendon fifth on 22, Frio, Port and the Blues make up the eight on 20 points. So that's the top eight. Is that the top eight as it will be in a few weeks' time? Excuse me, we'll let my dog out for a minute. But is that as good as it will be, Finey? Is that locked and loaded?
No, not at all. I mean, Collingwood sit 2 points outside the eight. They've won four and a half out of their last five games. So I would say Collingwood will definitely make it. And I wouldn't write Brisbane off completely. They're coming from a long way back, but they're a decent team. The teams that might be under threat would be Frio and Essendon. But, you know, Essendon keep winning, so who knows? No, I'm certain that's not the final eight.
So we're gonna put a line through Hawthorn, Eagles, Roos and Tigers, aren't we? The bottom four can't do anything.
No.
Okay.
What about Adelaide?
A rough hope. St Kilda can't make it.
So well, I was going to say, on 12 points at the moment, and this would put you at 11th, the Doggies are at 11th on 12, equal with the Crows, the Lions and the Saints. Are you putting a line through them at this stage?
Yeah, I'll put a line through St Kilda. I'll put a line maybe in pencil through the Doggies. I don't, you know, there's better teams than the Bulldogs. They're disappointing. You can't lose to Hawthorn. Sorry.
What about the Suns?
Oh, I agree.
No, Suns won't make it.
Okay.
I reckon the Suns needed to be at about six wins now, not they're only at four. They needed to be at six now to give themselves the momentum to get there.
Yeah.
And they'd just get there if they did.
Yeah.
For me, Collingwood will be in. And I think they're the only one out of that bunch. The Lions could if they get a run going on, but geez, they're a long way back now.
Yeah, they're still a decent team, but something's wrong there. Anyhow, yeah, that's not going to be the final eight.
So the normal solution to teams where there's something wrong, and you've mentioned two already, Finey, where there's clearly something wrong at the Bulldogs, a disconnect somewhere between what they're told to do and what they're doing on the ground, or they're doing on the ground what they're told to do, so there's a disconnect between what is the required to win games from a coaching point of view. So there's something wrong there, and the Lions have had pretty much the same sort of issues. The normal solution to that is to sack someone. Do you expect there to be a coach sacked in the next couple of weeks if those two teams, those two in particular, if they continue to go the way they're going?
No, and there's a reason why there won't be a coach sacked, and that's because we don't have any other football competitions within the same realm or stratosphere as the AFL. You see, if it was soccer, you've got managers all around the world managing teams at an equal level. You know, you've got, if you want to sack your English manager in the Premier League, you've got the Bundesliga, the Serie A, La Liga in France, or La Liga in Spain, the French First Division. You've got some prime competitions where you can get a manager from. You know, Celtic and Rangers always have a good manager, as we know, with Ange Postecoglou and Celtic. So the problem is, if you sack Beveridge, you're not going to get a coach out of the Sandfall waffle, right? So you're going to have to get an assistant coach. The only time you'd sack someone and replace them with a coach from outside the club is if there's an obvious star coach in waiting. You know, somebody like a Clarkson who's had a year off, and you might want to try and get him to come out of hibernation. But I don't think that there's that person around. In fact, I know that there's
isn't
not.
Isn't he coaching North Melbourne?
Yes, he is, yes. Allegedly.
Barely. But I'm saying, so you're not going to sack Beveridge for a first-time coach mid-season. Yep. You might replace him at the end of the year for a first-time coach. So if you got rid of Beveridge, it's just going to be for one of the assistant coaches at the Bulldogs. And to be honest, they're all tarred with the same brush. I mean, you know, it's basically, there's no use replacing a coach at this point of the season with somebody in the club if you're doing it to try and spark life into a team that you think is going to make the eight. The only time you get rid of a coach and just put a caretaker coach in is when the season's done and dusted and it's a lowly team. But Brisbane and the Doggies can still make it, and they're just going to have to go with what they've got.
And you can't do what was traditionally done many, many years ago, when you would have a coach and you'd bring in a hell and brimfire coach to kind of spur them up for the last part of the season. That just doesn't work anymore. There just aren't those coaches around anymore for a start. But that's just not how modern playing groups react anyway.
No, a new coach wants to be there. He wants to have input into the formation of the list. So he wants to be there at the end of the season before drafting and trading, and then implement his method, which is takes weeks, months, even years. So you're right. There's not just somebody to come in there and shake the joint up by going berserk 15 minutes before a game. It just doesn't work like that anymore. Our young men that play football are too coddled to be screamed at anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't scream at them. You can't scream at them. You're not allowed.
It's one thing the AFL are doing that I'd like to see introduced into something across the normal span of life. The fine system.
That's fine.
Yeah, I was having
the Mark Fine. Let's put it into real life and call it the Mark Fine system, if you like. I was having a look today at the upshot of a melee that happened in the Bulldogs and Hawthorn game. Aaron Norton got a fine for unduly rough play. It's his second occurrence for unduly rough play. or engaging in a melee, one of the two. $3,125. Now, if he takes the early plea, it gets knocked down to $1,815. He gets $1,250 off, 40% discount for an early plea. Now, I'm willing for a 40% discount to take the early plea for my tax for next year if I get a 40% discount on it.
Yeah. I mean, they should do it with parking fines.
Well, seriously, yes.
If you pay a parking fine within 7 days, you should get a discount.
Yeah. Well, do an AFL 40% discount. If you get a $120 parking fine or a speeding fine, you pay it within 7 days, you get it for, you know, $70 instead of $150.
No, it's long been a policy up at the Oriental Plum with the Butte girls at the Oriental Plum. You book in early, you get a 40% discount.
Is that right?
No. You've read it wrong.
Mm.
Is that for early withdrawals?
Yeah, no. If you book in early, you get 40% off. Well, it's no good because they leave more than half their clothes off.
Oh, there you go. There's always a catch, isn't there?
But you know, pun? Yeah. Look, you know what would happen if city council put in the 40% discount for parking fines?
What?
They'd just increase the fines.
Yeah, that'd be right. They would too. I watched an extraordinary A-League game on the weekend. Extraordinary game. I didn't see the first half of it because I was engaged watching the Bulldogs. But then Melbourne Victory were playing an elimination final. They had a bloke sent off at the 30-minute mark, so there were 10 men for most of the game. 2 minutes before the end of, you know, normal time, they equalised. They were 1-0 down, so they equalised with 2 minutes to go. They then went to an extra half an hour of extra time, at which time it was again still locked at 1-1.
Were they playing the other Melbourne?
They're playing Melbourne City, yeah, who've been in the finals every year for ever and a day. So they then went to a penalty shootout. Paul Izzo, the goalkeeper for Melbourne Victory, not only saved 3 penalty attempts, but he kicked one himself. For the victory, and literally some of the saves he did during the game were unbelievable. It was good. quite an unbelievable game, and they finished up, they won with 10 men, having played with 10 men for all by about 20 minutes of the game, and won in the penalty shootout where the keeper has just not only stopped them, but he scored one as well. So extraordinary effort by Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, the Victory.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to watch.
Yeah, they're good.
They are. And,
and Melbourne City, they're kind of Russian money, aren't they? Man City.
Oh, they are part of the City.
Yeah. So they get access to players that are perhaps not ready for Man City.
I don't think they get much of that. They don't seem to a lot of their play. I think they get some coaching help, even though they've got a sort of standing coach at the moment. But I think they certainly get some money. That would help.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them.
Now, our chart this week.
Can I ask you a question quickly, Kevin?
Yes.
How many games have Melbourne Storm won by 2 points this year?
Oh, God, almost every one.
Except the Rabbitohs. They keep winning by 2 points.
Again on the weekend by 2 points.
They're saving their strength for the finals.
Cameron Munster's 200th game. Another Herculean effort from Melbourne Storm, they're so good to watch. Unfortunately, I didn't see what the final medical thing was, but I think Ryan Pappenhausen might be out for a long time. One report I read that I saw or heard said he'd broken his leg again, which I hope is not true, but he looks like he's out for a while. But they Jerome Hughes is a star. God, he's a good player. Such a good player. Now, the chart this week, boys, is the 3UZ chart, the official top footed chart. The week commencing 7th of July, 1968.
I'll just get my beer, Kev, while we get to the chart, since we're getting into the chart.
Okay. Well, we're not doing the chart yet. I'm just going to give the top 10. Go and get your beer. You getting a beer or are you getting your notes for your chart?
No, I've got the chart over there. I've already thought about it tonight.
Number 10, Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones. This is the, talk about chalk and cheese. Listen to this. 10, Jumpin' Jack Flash, the Rolling Stones. 9, Man Without Love, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
8, Pictures of Matchstick Men by Status Quo.
Good.
7, Angel of the Morning by Merrily Rush.
It's not my cup of tea, but, you know, made a lot of people happy.
Me angel. Number
that from the movie, yeah, from Poseidon Adventure, wasn't it?
No. That was the morning after. No, this is Angel of the Morning. Juice Newton did a version of it, I think, in the 80s.
Juicy had a crack.
Number 6, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from Hugo Montenegro. One of a couple of instrumentals on this chart. Number 5, This Guy's in Love with You by Herb Albert, which I think is one of Finney's favourites. Number 4, Lazy Sunday Afternoon by the Small Faces. Number 3, Louisiana Man by Bobby Gentry. Number 2, Honey by Bobby Goldthwait. And number 1, Brian and I were talking about this song this afternoon. We're recording something for this week's episode of Life of Brian. Unicorn by the Irish Rovers.
There'll be green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpy-backed camels and some chimpanzees. But don't you forget my unicorn.
Yes. Good grief. That was number one, and it was number one for a long time too. But some interesting songs in the chart, including Sadie by Johnny Farnham, which was just about to fall out of the chart after 30 weeks in the chart. It was at number 38. 8 Aussies in the chart. 2 Irish Rovers songs, not only Unicorn, but Orange and the Green as well.
Me mother, she was orange, and me father, he was green.
It was
the biggest mixer.
All right, all right. I'm not going to mention Whiskey on a Sunday because you'll start singing that. And it's not in the chart. Oh, I think it was the B-side of Orange and the Green, I think, because my mother loved the Irish Rovers. And 2 Gary Puckett songs in there. There's Masters, Apprentices.
Could you say that again?
2 Gary Puckett songs.
What, you didn't like his songs?
You can't say Puckett, you pool. It's a joke. One of my friends, a disc jockey friend of mine, did that joke on air one night. I almost drove off the road. There were a lot of people who didn't pick up on it, and I, for the life of me, don't know how he got away with it. Anyway, all my best to Keith Fowler. Now, that's the chart. We'll get to that later. Let's get to the tips and then the Death Allies, which is packed, unfortunately, this week. Jeez. Okay, tips. Football starts again on Thursday night. You'd like to be doing Finney's final siren on Thursday night this week, Finney. Good game.
Yeah, that's a good
game. Carlton and Melbourne at the MCG on Thursday night. Carlton will get you 6. The Filth will get you 6, Brian. The D's.
The D's
will get you 4.
Are they playing at the Melbourne Cricket Ground?
They're playing at the home of the D's, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, but it is Carlton's home game.
Why is Carlton playing there? Because it's Melbourne's cricket ground.
Yes, but it's Carlton's home game. You know how the fixture works. So, Brian, the Filth will get you 6 and the Scumbag will get you 4.
I think I'm going to enjoy that. I don't like either team. I think the Filth have been exposed. They had an easy run at the start and now they're getting into some real competition. I think they're crumbling, so I'm going to go with Melbourne.
Melbourne for the 4. Melbourne for the 4 for me as well, to be honest. Finey, you with us with Melbourne or you're going Carlton?
I'll go Melbourne.
Melbourne? Yep, need to bank the 4. Friday night, GMHBA Stadium, Geelong take on Port Adelaide. Ooh, Kenny Hinckley made a bit of a blue. He's not going to have his captain again this week. Well, he won't have him this week. He had him for half a game last week and admitted that was a big mistake. Cats had their first loss of the year, Brian. 3 for the Cats, 7 for Port Adelaide, but it is being played at GMHBA Stadium.
And the captain is Jeremy Cameron, is that right?
You're not the captain.
Oh, so he's playing.
Oh, he'll be playing, yeah.
Oh, that's all right then. Okay, now I'm going to lock in the Cats.
Cats for 3. Geelong for Mr. Mannix. Geelong in Geelong. Yeah, can't see Port Adelaide knocking them over. Finey?
Geelong.
So We're all in furious agreement with each other. Frio and the Swans is the other Friday night game at Optus Stadium in Perth. Frio will get you 6 and the Swannies, top of the ladder at the moment, will get you 4. I'll lead this one off. I'll go Frio and I'll get the 6. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I'll take the 6.
Frio for the 6, and I reckon Finey might be banking the 4 with the Swans.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, aren't I?
Well, you don't have to.
He's in a position to catch up. He's got to go the opposite of us.
I can't just sit back
and just preserve the lead.
Yeah, no. I've got no problem tipping the Swans. They're good.
Yeah, no, yeah, they are good. They are good. Champ. Have they surprised you, Finey, the Swans?
Yeah, they have. Yeah. I thought they'd be good, but not this.
Yeah, well, I agree. Saturday footy, there are 4 games on Saturday from all parts of the universe, 2 in Melbourne and 2 away. The first one's in Launceston. Hawthorn will play the Saints. Hawthorn will get you 6, Brian. The Saints will only get you 4.
Well, I'm on a roll with the Hawks. They got me some good points last week. And, look, I just think they've just been missing by a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going the Hawks.
6-4, Brian, for the Hawks. I'm going the Saints for 4. Hawthorn were good against the Doggies, but I don't know that they can produce that 2 weeks in a row. Finey?
Saints for mine.
Saints for you.
Marvel's why you're losing, Finey, because you pick the Saints every week. Like Dev last year, picking the Dogs every week.
And I'll be doing that again this year. Well. Yeah, no, it's not working out well for either of us. 4:35 at Marvel Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Essendon will take on GWS. The Bombers, Brian, 6.
Yeah.
The Giants, 4.
Look, you know, I'm going to go to the Bombers. I think that Port will probably win, but hey.
There's no way Port will win that game.
No, because they're playing the Giants.
Yeah, well, who am I playing?
You're the Giants.
So Port says so Essendon and Port versus the Giants.
Yeah.
We'll smash this in. Yeah. Essendon will have 36 players on the field. I don't know. You know, we're not going to miss Sam Pepper Parker or whatever his name is. We'll be right. Yeah. Bombers for 6.
All right. I can't tip Essendon. No, I'm sorry. I've got to go for the Giants. I'll take the 4 if the Giants get it. What about you, Finey?
Giants. No.
Yeah, I just can't tip Essendon. I'm sorry. I just don't like them. Yeah. Tigers and Bulldogs. Oh, Saturday night at the MCG. The Tigers will get you 7 and the Doggies will get you 3. I'll go the Doggies because surely we at some stage actually have to realise that a game goes for all 4 quarters and there's no point being in front after 5 minutes, 3 goals up, and then not kicking any more goals until almost the end of the game. Maybe that message might get through at some stage. 7 for the Tigers, Brian. Are you going the Tigers or are you taking the 3 for the Doggies?
I haven't seen the Doggies play much this year.
Neither have I.
But I did lose 7 points on Tigers last week, so stuff them. We'll go for the Dogs.
Oh, the Bulldogs, okay. Taking the 3. Finey, what are you doing? 7 for the Tigers?
You know, the Tigers have only had 1 win this year.
Yes.
You know who that was against?
Who did they win against?
The team on top of the ladder.
No, that's right. They did. They beat the Swans.
Yeah.
So? Are you tipping
them? I'll go the Bulldogs.
Jeez. Fabulous logic. Now, Darwin on Saturday night is the other venue, and the Suns are up there. They're hosting North Melbourne. The Suns will get you 1. North Melbourne will get you 9. And seriously, I'll take the 1 for the Suns because I've seen North a few times now, and I'm sorry. I think they have some talent in there, but God, I don't know what the hell's going on when they run on the ground. Brian?
Well, 1 is the loneliest number that you'll ever see.
Can North Melbourne get you 9 points, Finey, or is that a wasted exercise and just thrown away?
I may as well take him.
Yeah. I think that's for the sake of 1, Yeah, I reckon you're right.
Yeah, they, at one point.
Yeah,
you could catch up eight. I'd be doing the same.
Now, with that in mind, let's look at the next game, which is the first of the Sunday games, which also is a 9-1 game. 9 points for the Eagles, who are coming over to Marvel Stadium to play the Pies. Now, sorry, just got to take the Pies and take the one because I can't tip the Eagles because that's just ludicrous.
The 9 points, it's two, it's 1 point. Who cares? I'm so far in front. No, I'm taking the 9 for the Eagles. I thought the Eagles, we beat them by one goal. They weren't, they weren't shithouse last week. They were, and they've been getting better, and they'll be really lining up for this game. So, yeah, no, okay. I'll take the 9.
What about you, Finey? What are you going to do?
I'll take the 1.
The 1 for the Pies, yes, I agree. And the final game is at Adelaide Oval on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Crows will get you 4. The Lions will get you 6. That's how badly they're travelling at the moment. Adelaide on the back of a good win. Brian, who are you going for? 4 for the Crows, 6 for the Lions. You're a Crows, quasi-Crows supporter.
Yes, but not tonight because they got the injuries. He'll have to play some of the kids that have been sitting around for 3 years. So I'm going for the 6 points.
For the Lions?
Yep.
Yeah, I think the Lions might win that one too. I was on the Crows last week, but not with any great conviction. I just thought they would probably get that one. They're another team that I don't reckon could string a couple together. Finey, 6 for the Lions, 4 for the Crows.
I was going to take the Lions, but I'll have to take the Crows.
You can take the Crows now for the 4. All right. So Brian on 172, I'm on 164, and Finey's back there on 125. That's how the tips look at this stage. Righto, Brian, you know what it's time for?
Yes, we all know what it's time for. But fortunately, it's not time for you, because this is the Deathalyzer.
Right.
Didn't know I was going to get out of that one. I started I found a line. It's good.
Couple of ones from the sporting world in the EPL. Ian Miller, who played for Man City, for Brighton and for Sheffield Wednesday, passed away at the age of 74. And for the golfing world, to the age of 75, golfer and broadcaster Peter Oosterhuis passed away. Oosterhouse at 75. Yeah. Very good commentator.
Oosterhuis?
Yeah.
Did he ever hang around with Butkus?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because they're both in, doing stuff and commentating. I thought
Stephen
they might
Raitman
know each other.
Sent me a
Stephen who?
Stephen Raitman sent me something on Facebook Raitman. Messenger. Yeah, Raitman. Stephen, he's goes into Finey's shop. He sent me a thing today that in a group discussion was, why didn't Dick Butkus change his name ever? Why didn't he ever change his name?
Well, he did. His original name was Peter Miller.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
No, he did change his name.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He was born Peter Cocklick.
Of course he did. Now, in the acting world, Bernard Hill, who played Diff, remember that thing they did on John Lennon called A Journey in the Life? He played John Lennon in that, and he also was Captain Smith in Titanic and then was in the Lord of the Rings trilogy as King Theoden of Rohan. He passed away at the age of 79. In the Australian television world, today, unfortunately, Brian Wenzel passed away at the age of 94. Sergeant Frank Gilroy in A Country Practice for the 12 or 13 years that was on.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah, he won a Silver Logie for that. For
he was terrible when he started. He was a ham, but then he became a better actor as the show wore on.
Well, he was basically a stage performing comedian type, doing theatre and stuff. So he was a ham. That's what he was.
When that show first started, he was weak, and then bit by bit he got better and better and better. And because after round one you sort of go, hang on, mate, we've got to have a good look at this bloke. But I enjoyed his work.
Yeah, no. So
I've got to say, I never saw an episode of Country Practice I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah, because I never saw an episode.
Oh well, there you go. Yeah, I wasn't. It wasn't something I watched every week, but it was one of those shows because I was on the radio 81 to 93. It was a big show through that time. You had to know about Molly and her passing and all the different characters are on. But his partnership on that show with Lorraine Desmond as a husband and wife team, it was very good, him and Chill, Frank and Chill. Max Rowley passed away at the age of 87, a famous voiceover man on lots and lots of television shows, always finished it, Max Rowley speaking. Ran a radio academy in Sydney for, 50 years, I reckon, and was responsible for launching the careers of many of the radio stars of the last 40 and 50 years. So,
sad. Who was that?
Max Rowley.
Oh, yeah. Did he have a toupee?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's pretty. Yeah. I reckon he did.
Sail of the Century or yes. Temptation. He'd be here's Tony Barber.
Yep. Yeah, he did all that. He was on. He was sort of the booth announcer for I think it was Seven in Sydney for years and years and years. And yeah, at the end of it, Max Rowley is speaking.
He was a part of Australian history. Yeah, good.
Absolutely.
On him.
87. Yeah, he passed away.
They're going to put his poop in the Australian Institute of Film.
Now you sound like you're in the bottom of a well now, Funny. What have you done?
I'm back.
And from the musical world, a couple of sad passings. 86-year-old Duane Eddy passed away.
Geez, I'm surprised he was still here.
I must admit, I thought he passed, but when I saw it, I went, oh, okay. Rebel Rouser and Peter Gunn. Remember the theme from Peter Gunn? He did that.
Great, great.
One of the great guitarists of all time. The postings on social media from all the guitar players who went, hang on, John Fogerty and all those people went, this bloke was just an absolute icon, one of the people that we listened to when we were kids and, tried to emulate and play like him and do all that stuff. So sad to see he passed away. And Richard Tandy, now this is one for you, Finny. Richard Tandy passed away at the age of 76.
He was Tom Sullivan, wasn't he?
No, that was Stephen Tandy.
I was home. I was home watching TV. What do you mean it's one for me? I didn't do it.
No. Richard was a keyboard player. He was originally in The Move, who had some great songs in the late part of the 60s. And then, of course, he was the keyboard player with ELO. Now, Finney's been sending both you and I, Brian, clips of ELO because he's rediscovered the Electric Light Orchestra and some of the songs and going, I like these songs.
Well, that one song.
Last Train to London.
It's brilliant.
Oh, it's a great song.
Have a listen to it.
It's a really funky, cool song.
Yeah, it is.
You might like the X-Men's new song. That's a bit funky.
Good. I like it. It's got a bit of a beat.
It's got the bass.
Which one are you talking about, Brian? You've got two songs.
The second one.
Oh, okay.
We love it.
We're going to play on the show, not this week, but we're going to play on the show. We talking about the new version of an old X-Men song called It's a Shame will be premiered. It gets its world premiere this week, this Wednesday, when the new episode of Life of Brian comes out. You'll hear the new version of It's a Shame.
Pretty
it's good.
Darn good. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
It's good. Yeah. It's really good.
But actually, finally, back to ELO.
They're good.
Have a listen to their new album. It's called Jeff Lynne's ELO. And he's got a song called When I Was a Boy. It's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It sounds just like thing. And I think for New World Record, what's really overlooked is Shangri-La, the last track on the New World Record.
I loved ELO. I used to eat, drink and breathe their albums when they came out. I thought they were terrific. Evil Woman, such a good song. It's a Living Thing. I know radio bashed them a lot, and now radio doesn't blame it all, I don't think. But and I hadn't heard Last Train to London for such a long time. And when you sent that, I went, oh, yes.
Actually, I did an interview the other day for Newcastle Radio. I don't know, this guy's got some 80s show. And they asked me about radio, and I kind of shitbagged the hell out of it, going, playing, I don't want to hear Walking on Sunshine or We're on a Road to Nowhere. And he kind of, and I said, and we built this city on, for God's sake. And I really bagged it. And he kind of went a bit quiet, and it was like, oh, God, what your radio station plays, isn't it? So, yeah, probably put my foot in my mouth then. But anyway.
Was it live?
No.
Yeah, well, that's.
He'll edit that out.
He'll edit that bit out. Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's why he didn't say anything. He said, oh, well, I'm not going to waste talking in this bit because I'm going to edit this out anyway. Because otherwise the PD will sack me if I say all our music shit.
And that's why we haven't been sued, just through the odd strategic edit.
No, nothing on this. But
and I'll tell you, he's a raving homosexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Exactly.
See, that's what's good about Finding Final Siren, because it's live.
Yeah.
Right. You can get sued.
So I had a bloke send an SMS in.
Yeah.
And the SMS was, you're an arrogant scumbag. Fine, you're an arrogant scumbag, a complete fuckwit and know-all. And when the station goes under, I'll be doing cartwheels because I never have to hear you again. So I read it out. I did a slight edit on it. I read it out.
Unlike what you've just done now, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, correct. I could do the full thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I read it out and I said, but the strange thing is that you're listening to me. So who's a bigger idiot? The guy that makes a shit sandwich or the bloke that eats it?
Nicely done. Yeah. Nicely done.
And do you know what? He sent a text back.
Yeah.
And you know what the text said?
Good on you. I reckon he might have actually tipped his hat to you if he'd had any class about him.
Well played.
He said, brilliant comeback. You're the best bloke on radio.
There you go. There you go.
I reckon he might have done it for the response. Yeah,
he was winding you up and hoping that you would go exactly what you did, and you didn't let him down or the other listeners, which is good.
Yeah. No, I got a very positive response to it.
No, you should have. All right, let's get the chart. It is the 3UZ official Top 40 chart of 7th of July, 1968. Interesting stuff in here. 8 Aussies, as I mentioned, a couple of Gary Puckett's, a couple of Irish Rovers. The Aussies are John Rowles, Johnny Farnham, Sadie, the number 40 song, Times Like This by the City Stompers. They were a Melbourne band. Used to play at Club 431 in St Kilda Road. Apparently, I don't remember Club 431 in St Kilda Road, but I'm sure it's at 431 St Kilda Road, whatever it is. The Virgil Brothers. I love the Virgil Brothers. Temptation Bad to Get Me, great song. Campact, I'm Your Puppet. Rim DePaul's Ballad of Lionel Rose is in there. And the Pastoral Symphony, another Aussie, with Love Machine. I'll be talking about them. But finally, what have you found in this little pot of gems from 1968?
Couple of interesting tracks.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Hugo Montenegro's cover of Ennio Morricone's Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting that you do a cover less than 2 years after the original comes out and be so successful with it.
So hang on, the one that you're talking about he covered, that was the one in the film, or was Hugo's?
That was the one in the film. So Ennio Morricone did that great. And it's iconic.
Soundtrack.
It's certainly the only song that I can think of in the top 10 of the music chart that had an ocarina, a harmonica, and a bloke whistling in it.
Yeah, probably
so
true.
Not your standard run of instruments. And, yeah, I think an iconic piece of music. So I like that. I couldn't tell you whether it's better or worse than the original version or what the original version differs, how it differs, but I listened to it and it sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
And the other one was Rim DePaul.
Oh, yeah, The Ballad of Lionel Rose.
Now, if I was going to be a transvestite, you know, like a drag queen.
Your name would be?
Rim DePaul.
Thank you.
It's quite an interesting name, isn't it?
It is. It's his real name.
Rick.
It is, because he's a New Zealander.
Well, let's thank God that his last name wasn't Job.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so Rim DePaul.
Rim Job Paul, what happened?
I mean, how does it work out, you know, when somebody would call his name? Rim? I mean,
it's well, weird. Well, is it any worse than calling your daughter Rima?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, I guess Rim is the male equivalent of Rima.
That could have been a double act in a King's Cross nightclub. Rim and Rima.
Yeah, so
Rim DePaul, a sideshow at the show.
Can you imagine Carlotta introducing him?
Rima.
Hello, darling. It's time for Rim DePaul.
Thought you'd never ask.
So he's a Maori performer that came over here and sang a bit.
Yep.
But it's a very curious song, The Ballad of Lionel Rose. Have you listened to it?
Not for a long, long time.
So it's sung to the music. Now, I'm pretty sure it's that famous Chinese song that I hear in restaurants all the time. But I don't know the name of the song, and I've been trying to look it up. So I'm going to try and sing it to you.
Okay, see if you know. This is a first.
But I can't sing, so it's going to be difficult.
Well, so maybe Brian can help you out. Brian's a vocalist of note.
Look, I got my second gold record before I realised I couldn't sing. It was too late then.
But it's just the music, not the words. It's na 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 na.
That's Sukiyaki.
Yeah, it is. Sukiyaki.
Yeah, Sukiyaki.
I love that song.
I've Chinese songs that are bloody Japanese.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that song.
I had that on playlists. I play that quite a lot when I'm looking at the ocean.
Kaio Ishimoto. It's beautiful music. Yeah, it's a lovely piece of music.
It's really happy.
Oh, yeah. No wonder I couldn't find it in any of the Chinese songs.
Yeah, so you've got a song about an Australian Aboriginal boxer to a Japanese tune.
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
Wow.
Well, he'd been fighting Harada, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it's a really weird song. There was a man they call Lionel Rose.
Oh, no.
He was the greatest boxer that we ever saw. I mean, it's pretty pathetic.
I'll be bunging that up really loud in my penthouse when I want people to leave.
Yep.
Sounds good, though. That sounds like it's fun. I'll be having to listen to that. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Number 24, yeah. The Ballad of Lionel Rose, Rim DePaul.
God, that's 15 minutes of my life I won't get back. I was keying in Chinese songs hearing restaurants.
You should have just rung one of us. It took 13 seconds and we had that out for you.
Sukiyaki.
Yep,
it was not spring roll. It was sukiyaki.
Oh, how would your little mate from the reject shop sing that song, Finey?
Oh, I miss him, you know, because now it's only
we all miss him.
But it would have been the Ballad of Lionel Rose, which could have been a real problem.
it's owned by completely different people.
Oh, that's not good. What?
But he could own his own business if he apply himself.
One day you could be like Lenny or me.
Or Lionel. What did you think of the chart, Brian? What did you find?
Well, I tell you what, Kev, I tell you what, it totally blew me away. This was totally brilliant chart, and I mean that. Gee whiz, hard to get something going. You know, we've had charts where, like, yeah, well, it's pretty easy getting the top 40 this week because they're all mediocre songs. But just go through this. Like the unicorn, like I was 7 when this chart came out.
Mm.
And I was starting to just really get into music. So, you know, things, the daggy ones like Irish Rovers, Unicorn, well, you know, I'm 7-year-old. It's a nice little, you know, children's story. So I like that. Honey. Well, okay.
See the tree, how big it's grown, but
yeah. But you know, there's a place in my heart for that. I think my mother and my father loved that.
Oh yeah, they would have.
Lazy Sunday Afternoon, great. This Guy's in Love with You by Herb Albert, wow, there's a classic. Angel of the Morning, pretty good. Pictures of Majestic Man, fantastic. Engelbert Humperdinck, Man Without Love, that's a great song. Then you got the Stones. It's just so many. Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. This is possibly the greatest top 40 chart of Simon and Garfunkel, Mrs. The Robinson. The Monkees, Cuddly Toy, one of their best ones. Even Andy Williams delivers in this one with Can't Take My Eyes Off You. That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Then you got Johnny Cash singing Folsom Prison Blues. Dionne Warwick, probably her biggest song ever, Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Otis Redding. Elvis Presley's come in with a pretty lame one on you as well. Richard Harris, MacArthur Park, it's a classic. Congratulations, Cliff Richard. Nearly every song in this chart is good. There's many, many that are great.
Mm.
So my, you know, my hat's off to 1968. Well done, everybody. This is a fantastic chart.
Now, before you get too carried away.
And it was an Etherton Premiership year.
No, I didn't. Carlton 68? Beat us by a point.
Oh, I can't beat you, actually.
Yeah. 68. I sat next to an Essendon Premiership player on Saturday night. John Burt was sitting next to me at a function I did for the Bulldogs. 1965 Essendon Premiership player. He played in two. I think he played in 62 and 65.
62, 65,
A lovely man. Now, I found
That's the change the Bulldogs could make.
What?
Well, I said there's no use getting rid of the coach or an assistant coach.
Bring in John Burt.
Maybe they could change the MC for the function.
Oh, well, that'll be good because I don't do a function for the club. I only do the past players.
Okay.
I'm not sure who does the – I think it might be I don't know. Jason Bennett does one of them. I don't think it's the president. I don't even know who does the president's lunch anymore. No, but I found speaking of presidents, I found a dual record entry in here, two Australian songs in this that have a connection not only to football, as it turned out, but also to a very, very colourful figure in football who owned a team at one stage. The number what number is it? Number 12 song, Love Machine by Pastoral Symphony. And I'm Your Puppet, number 28, I think it is, by Campact, were both associated with Dr. Geoffrey Edelston.
Really? I think Rem DePaul had.
No, he did not.
I'm Your Puppet as well.
He had nothing to do with it. Edelston hit.
Rem and the Puppet got together.
No, Edelston hit productions because Geoffrey dabbled in having his own record label and having his own publishing and all that. So Pastoral Symphony was actually like a studio group that included Glenn Shorrock and Ronnie Charles and a couple of other members of the Twilights. Terry Britton was in there as well and Patty from the Twilights, the other singer. So they went into a studio and knocked over that song, and that came out on Festival Records, Festival Records. And that was Geoffrey Edelston's company. He then took that name, The Love Machine, and took it to England, and they released the song over there. But Campact was another one. Chris Stockley was in Campact at that stage. Chris went on to be in the Dingoes and a few other things. Keith Glass, the country singer.
Mason, yeah.
Yeah. He was Chris was in Campact, which was actually started their name as a joke was Camp Act, but they thought, oh no, hang on, we might get into trouble, so let's call ourselves the Campact.
Well, because they were working with Rem DePaul.
No, they weren't. Rem had nothing. He was not involved in any of these. Not involved.
I'm Your Puppet.
So Geoffrey Edelston was his company was Edelston Hit Productions were involved in those two songs, I'm Your Puppet and Love Machine by Pastoral Symphony.
I think you're pronouncing it wrong.
I'm Your
No, you were calling it Edelston's Hit Productions.
Oh yeah, it should have been Shit Productions.
It was Edelston Shit Productions.
Yeah. You had the S in the wrong spot.
The S I thought the S was silent, but clearly not. So he was involved in that, which is kind of interesting because they were two not bad songs, actually. Campact were an interesting group, But that Pastoral Symphony song, Love Machine, was a good song. It was a kind of psychedelic, almost ELO-ish start to it. And then it, you know, had some great vocals. Terry Britton, Glenn Shorrock, Paddy, the other singer from The Twilights, and Ronnie Charles. Pretty formidable vocal lineup. Yeah. So there you go. So that was my thoughts on that. And the other song that I loved, the Virgil Brothers, Temptation About to Get Me, just a great song, really good song. They were a very underrated group, the Virgil Brothers, sort of like Australia's Walker Brothers or Righteous Brothers or something. They had terrific voices. Mel McGee had a great voice.
The lineup, the artists in this top 40 is probably as good or better than Live Aid. There's so many great artists in this. If you put a concert on with all these people, then wow, that'd be great.
Yep. Johnny Farnham, Tom Jones, then, you know, the Rolling Stones, and then
Elvis Presley, Otis Redding,
Status Quo,
DePaul.
Rim.
DePaul. Or he'd be headlining. Or jobbing or something. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Thank you. That's it, boys. We're running out of time. We've got the news is coming up now. So enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time on Rock and Roll.
I think you'll find Rim DePaul would have been cleaning up at the Rio.
Good night.
Well, I think he's a friend with Dick Butkus.
You've just experienced Rock and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.